very first verse in the chapter, which we think is very important. The name of the book is the Revelation. Now, your Bible may say in the title of St. John the Divine, but it is not a revelation of. It's John doing the writing, so it's of John doing the writing, but only as he is led by the Holy Ghost. Only as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I want to read the first verse. You can stand to your feet, please. Preacher, we've been up, down, setting up, down. Well, you won't be tired of doing one thing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Father, we pray you'd help us, Lord, just to speak these few words in power. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, that we'd see truth tonight. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. I pray, God, your blessing upon your word. I pray, God, you'd help us, Father, more than any other time, God, to stand and teach the Word of God and proclaim it, preach it from the pulpit. I pray, God, you're helping you'll breathe upon it tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The word in the Greek is apokalypto. It means an unveiling. It means an uncovering. It is not necessarily an uncovering or an unveiling of the person of Jesus Christ. It is that. But it is also more, because it is Jesus Christ unveiling and uncovering things which must shortly come to pass. Now the writer here is John, the beloved disciple. He's writing in the year of our Lord about 94, 95, or 96 A.D., We know that Jesus would have passed, or Jesus would have been crucified and died, was buried and rose again in about the year 33 or 34 or so, okay? And about 60 years later, John has been sentenced to the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the Word of God. The Emperor Domitian has come against John, the beloved disciple. He hates it. He's tired of his preaching. And John, they put in a cauldron of oil and they tried to burn him. But as he stood there in that cauldron of oil being burnt, he preached the Word of God, and he would not burn, and tore him up. So quickly they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos, about 50 miles away from Ephesus, off the shoreline, about 10 miles long, 5 miles wide. And John gets there, and he's completely isolated. He's completely alone. He's got nobody around him there. But rather than doubt God and rather than give up on God, Jesus comes to him and gives to him a revelation. John had seen Jesus reveal himself before. Remember when they were gathered in the upper room there after Jesus was crucified and was buried. Amen. And on the third day when he was risen again, they gathered that Sunday night. Amen. That resurrection evening behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And the unthinkable happened. In walked Jesus. I told y'all this morning, you can't afford to miss the service. No telling when the Lord's going to show up and when He's going to show out. Amen? And do something which is totally unusual. And you may sit around and say, we've never saw it just like this. Well, old John would have said that when Jesus walked in the room and said, peace be unto you. And breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, John had a revelation of Jesus before. And now here he is on this island. He's shut off and shut out, and he's completely isolated. And the Bible says down here in verse number 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Thanks be unto God for somebody on the Lord's day, being the first day of the week, on Sunday, being in the Holy Ghost, being in a place where they can worship, being in a place where they can hear from God. And about the time that he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the Bible said he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. And that voice was of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He said, write what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He said, I've seen Him before, but He's changed His garments. Amen. No more is He up on the cross, stripped down naked. Amen. Now He's clothed from the head to the foot. Amen. With a golden girdle strapped around Him. His eyes are like fire. He says, I see something different in Him that I've never saw before. Jesus was revealing His glorification to John. And John was allowed to write. If you look in verse number 19, you can get the outline for the entire book of Revelation. I didn't outline it. Jesus did. It's His book. He says, write the things which thou hast seen. You see verse 19? Write the things which thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. What John is seeing is the glorified Christ. Number 2, he says, write the things which are. Amen? And the things which shall be hereafter. And the things which are Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. That is the church age in which you and I now live. That's that 2,000-year period from John there on the Isle of Patmos to where we are tonight. The things which are. He's writing about the church age. I want to tell you, there's seven churches. All of them represent different dispensations of time. All seven churches, you'll find some of the characteristics of those churches, even though they represent different dispensations of time, in the local church. You'll see that, amen? Every single one of them. So John begins to write. And then in chapter number 4, he's going to write the things which must be hereafter. There in Revelation 4 is the rapture of the church. And it's Jesus coming for His bride. And from there on, from Revelation 4 through the end of the book, we see the things which must be hereafter. It is a outline of 3 points. Amen? If you will look with me, He gives us, in verse number 3, He gives us the Beatitudes, the blessed Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. And they're threefold. He says, number 1, blessed is he that readeth. Everybody can pretty much do that. Most folks can read. Maybe not everybody, but most folks can read the Word of God. John says Jesus has made a special promise to you and to I if we would read the book of Revelation. Not just the Word of God, but the book of Revelation. That promise is to anybody that's willing to read it. I know church after church that's afraid of it. They don't believe in it. They don't like the doctrine of it. But I'm telling you what, it's part of the Word of God. And if you want to cut out the Word of God, you've cut out grace, you've cut out love, you've cut out the blood, and you've got a cut up Bible. I believe the Bible is inspired of God. I believe the Bible is infallible and without error, don't you? He says, blessed is he that readeth. Number 2, he said, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. There's a reason then for us to stand in a pulpit and read the Word of God, to read the book of Revelation. If we read it, we're blessed. If we hear it, we are blessed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's your second promise. Blessed are they that hear. Not just individual, but as a group. They that hear the words of this prophecy. Number 3, and keep those things which are written therein. In other words, to meditate on the book of Revelation. To believe the book of Revelation. And to not doubt it. To meditate upon it. To chew it. You know, like an old cow. A cow will chew its cud. It'll eat grass for a while and spit it back up and then go and eat it again. Amen? You know what you need to do with the Word of God? You need to chew on it for a while. Amen? It may cause some bitterness in your soul. You may not like what it's got to say. But if you'll chew on it for a while, regurgitate it and chew it again. Amen? You might start helping your soul. So there's a threefold outline. There's a threefold beatitude promised for those that read, those that hear, and those that keep the words of this prophecy. I like this. You read verse 4, it's from God. You read verse 4, it's from the Spirit. You read verse 5, it's from Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The three are one and the one are three. Amen. Praise God for that. Here's old John out here now. He's going to do some writing. Look what he says. That's the end of verse 5. Speaking about Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Do you realize tonight that he loved you before you ever got washed? He didn't say unto him that washed us and loved us. No. He said he loved you before you ever got washed. He died for you when you were still a sinner. Amen. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I think about that little woman every time I read this verse of Scripture. Her little boy had completely run away. She had looked for him for years, but she remained faithful to God and faithful to the house of God and faithful to pray. A lot of people will quit when devastation comes their way. And she kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. She had looked and searched and called every constable and every policeman she could find. She called every news agency and every detective to find her boy, but to no avail. One night in her church, she looked at the rector. And as he stood there getting ready to go in the pulpit and preach, they heard the back door open. And as she stood in about this altar area, looking at the rector, hearing that screech of the door, she turned to see who's come in the middle of the service. And it was a young man with long, stringy hair. He was a greaseball. In fact, his clothes were dirty and filthy and full of holes. He was a dirtball. As she looked at him, she recognized him. That was her long-lost son. As she got close to him, he smelled like alcohol and he smelled like trash. He was an alcoholic. But you know what she did? She didn't look at him and kick him and say, "Son, where you been? You've caused me much grief." Son, she didn't whip on him and bring condemnation. She went straight to her boy, recognizing him as hers, and she wrapped her arms around him. She loved him before he ever got cleaned up. She loved him when he was still alcoholic. She loved him though he had long hair. She loved him though he smelled like trash. She put her arms around him and said, "Welcome home, son. It's good to have you. Would you sit with me tonight?" And the boy sat down in the service, and the rector preached the Word of God. "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." That night, that old boy run down the altar, and he got gloriously saved. You understand? Before he ever got washed, Jesus loved him. Before he ever got washed, God loved him and sent his own son to die in his place. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, for the book of Revelation. It is the revelation, not of John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to John about his person, about his power, and about his purpose. God has a purpose and a plan. And I'm excited to learn what God and to know what God is going to do in the future. And he said, "I'm going to let you in on it. I'm going to reveal to you a mystery. And it's already been solved. And I want you to know what's going to happen. And I'm going to give you understanding. I'll bless you if you read it. I'll bless you if you hear it. And I'll bless you if you keep it and obey it." Now I think about the Word of God being written here by John. You may say, "This is John. He was on some hallucinogenics. He was on LSD or some other drug." I want to say to you that the Holy Ghost picked him up and said, "John, I want you to write." I went to visit a man one night. He was trying to kill himself, and I went up to the hospital, didn't even know him. I went and said, "I'm here to see so-and-so." And the nurse looked at me and said, "You are?" I said, "I'm not even his friend. The Lord just told me to come see him." And the nurse said, "Okay, tell me your name." And she went down and saw him. And she said, "There's a preacher out here to see you. And he's a God denier and a God hater and a God cusser." And he said, "I tried to kill myself and didn't succeed. Broke my back, broke my leg. Here I lay. Can't get away from him. And he's come to see me." She said, "Yeah." He said, "Send him down here." I went down there to see the old boy and started telling him about the Word of God. He said, "I don't believe that stuff. That's just stuff that a man wrote. Hey, you know what? You can't get two Baptists to agree on nothing. Yet the writers of the Word of God, sitting on a throne or sitting down in a jail cell, completely agreed without talking to each other. David on a throne, most high of all Israel, and yet Paul from a prison cell, they wrote arm in arm, amen. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has orchestrated this event." I looked at that man and I said, "You know, I want to tell you something. I see a pen laying there on your table. Would you pick it up? He said, my arm ain't broke. I can do that. He picked it up. I said, there's some paper there. Would you pick that up? He said, my arm ain't broke. I can pick that up. And I said, can you take that pen and can you write the letter A? He said, I got education. Sure, I can do that. And he picked up that pen and he wrote the letter A. Put the little point in there and crossed it. And I said, now lay it down. And he did. And I picked up that piece of paper and I said, that pen did a beautiful job. He said, yeah, it was a nice pen. I said, in fact, that pen did a real good job. I wonder what made that pen know how to point it just like this. He said, the pen didn't do that by itself. He said, don't you understand? I was the one that took the pen and wrote with it. I said, do you understand that when God wanted His Word recorded, that He just picked up a man and wrote with him by the influence of the Holy Ghost? And when he was done, he set the man back down. Amen. The Word of God is inspired, meaning God breathed and God purposed. It's there to help us and teach us. Amen. So I'm excited, church, about this threefold promise. I'm excited about a revealing of Jesus Christ, an unveiling of things to come, an unveiling of His person. Boy, I want to know more about Him. An unveiling of His power. Boy, I like what I've seen tonight. An unveiling of His purpose in our lives. Glory to God, church. And He's already outlined it, and I can't wait to see what He's going to do. So stand to your feet. We're going to dismiss. Preacher, I was just getting ready to start writing down a few notes. I hope that'll be just enough to whet your appetite and bring you back for the next time as we study the book of Revelation. Enjoy the service. Praise God, it's been good. Lord, we pray You'd bless the events that have taken place tonight. And God, You'd stir our souls with it and help us, God, if tomorrow should come, time should stand, and we're allowed another day, that, Lord, we'd give good testimony of the power of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God in the service that was tonight. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done, for victories that You've already won. We thank You for it. I pray for every prayer request that's been mentioned. God, we mention it a second time to reinforce it. God, we thank You for all You do, the good singing of the night. Bless Your holy name. Thank You for Your people. Thank You, God, for these that have been willing to stay and sit here and shout and praise God and be encouraged in the things of God. Help us, God, to stay in the book. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.